Okay, so we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, Saint Maximilian Kolbe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And we're on page 9. This is day 18 of the Queen of Heaven in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. So Our Lady's speaking to us. Now, my dear child, listen to me. I left the temple with the same courage with which I entered it. And see, this is the word that Pope Benedict said. This is his first words. You must be courageous. The first words of John Paul II was, you do not be afraid. See, they know the time that we're in, and you've got to be courageous. It says, we were, as St. Joan of Arc said, we were born for this time. And what our job is to do is to have such courage, have such faith, have such trust that nothing will frighten us. Nothing will bother us. It's trust in Him. If Jesus is our Lord, our Master, our King, our Savior, our God, if He really is our Savior, then there's nothing to fear. And we must be courageous. Jesus is going to ask us to do things that He has asked no one to do before. He asked Louisa. He asked the Blessed Mother. This is what Adam did before the fall. But no one else. You can't find the Book of Heaven in any of what the saints have written. And why? Because this book was given to Louisa. Louisa lived this life. And as you read it, as you study it, as you put it into practice, what happens is you begin to live the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. This great day when the kingdom is established, this is what Jesus says in volume 24. He says that all of a sudden the kingdom will be here as if by magic. And everyone will say, how did this happen? How did this occur? And Jesus says that He's going to explain to the world it was because of Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. What God is going to bring about is bringing heaven to earth. That's the only prayer that Jesus taught the apostles, how to bring heaven to earth. And then when you listen to The Dawn of a Mystery, if you go to luisapicaretta.me, if you go to DVD, go to video, listen to what Archbishop Piccieri says. He says, no one in the history of the church has ever taught how the kingdom was going to come. He says, this is Louisa's job. So if we want to know the only prayer that Jesus taught us, the Our Father, the answer to that prayer, how it's going to happen and why it's going to happen, read what Jesus taught Louisa. It's very clear. It's wonderful. You could always tell a soul who's not happy, you know, in the divine will, it's because they've stopped reading. If you're reading every day, it's Jesus speaking to you. Jesus said to Louisa, I will stand right beside you to touch your mind so that you will understand this, and touch your heart so that you will love this. And so when we read every day, I mean, this is Our Lady. Listen, she says, my dear child, listen to me. Mary is speaking. When Jesus speaks, He says, listen, I've got something to tell you. This is why people are happy in the divine will, is because you're with Jesus, you're with Mary. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. Now, we love the saints, but to be with Jesus and Mary, it's not looking at Jesus and Mary through the eyes of a saint. Like when you read the prodigies of the Blessed Mother, Jesus says, I'm the only one that can tell you how beautiful, how perfect, how loving my mother is, being the Son of God, being the Son of Mary. And he explains in detail how beautiful Our Lady is. And when you read the Book of Heaven, when you read the prodigies, it's just, wow, how great this is. Who could ever turn away from the Blessed Mother? She is the most beautiful of all the women in the universe. She's Theotokos. She's Mother of God. So she says, my dear child, listen to me. When I left the temple, I had the same courage with which I entered it. See, we have to be courageous. Here she was at three, she entered the temple. When she left the temple, it was 15. She says, and only, I did this only to do the divine will. I went to Nazareth and no longer found my dear and holy parents. I was accompanied only by St. Joseph, and I saw him as my good angel to whom God had given me for my custody, though I had cohorts of angels that accompanied me on the journey. All created things bows of honor for me, and I, thanking them, gave each created thing my kiss and my greeting as queen. And so we arrived at Nazareth. And then she says, you must know. To enter into the divine will, read the You Must Know book. Just read it. This is what you have to know to understand how to live in the divine will. Read the Be Attentive book. Jesus keeps on saying that you must be attentive. That to me is you must be reading and focusing on what I say to you. He says very clearly, I went to Nazareth and no longer found my dear and holy parents. I was accompanied only by St. Joseph, and I saw him as my good angel to whom God had given me for my custody, though I had cohorts of angels to accompany me. Jesus says, so we arrived at Nazareth, and you must know that St. Joseph and I looked at each other with modesty and felt our hearts swollen because each one wanted to let the other know that we were bound to God with a vow of perpetual virginity. Finally, silence was broken, and both of us manifested our vow. Oh, how happy we felt, thanking the Lord. We promised to live together as brother and sister. I was the most attentive in serving him. And we looked at each other with veneration, and the dawn of peace reigned in our midst. Oh, if all could reflect themselves in me by imitating me, I adapted myself very much to an ordinary life. I would let nothing appear outside of the great seas of grace I possessed. So here's Mary talking. And we begin to see how beautiful she is. I still hear a reverberation with this microphone. In Meditation 1-1, number 1, the Queen of Heaven in the Kingdom of the Divine Will, my child, give me your hand now and follow me as I continue to give you my lessons. So here, Mary is teaching us. It's not St. Bernard teaching us. It's not the great saints teaching us. It's the Blessed Mother herself. And so she says, I want you to learn these lessons. So I departed from Nazareth, accompanied by St. Joseph, facing a long journey and crossing mountains to go to visit Elizabeth in Judea, who in her advanced age had miraculously become a mother. And I went to her not to make a simple visit, but because I burned with the desire to bring her Jesus. The fullness of grace, the fullness of love, the fullness of light that I felt within me pushed me to bring, to multiply, to increase 100-fold the life of my Son in creatures. See, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is we're going to be like her Son. That's her triumph. And what she told Father Gobi was the triumph would begin in Mexico City. And it did. That's the first place in the world that read all 36 volumes. And it began there. The celestial baby is now born in the grotto of Bethlehem, wrapped in poor swaddling clothes, so much so that the shepherds who were in vigil listened to the angelic voices and ran to visit the little divine king. This isn't a fairy tale. This is a reality. Christmas is the most beautiful time, one of the three most beautiful times of the year. And we are rejoicing that God became man. We even genuflect, you know, at that point in the creed. God became man through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is, no religion talks like this. No religion shows the amount of love God has for his people, except for this beautiful universal life that God has given to us. As I received him to my arms, she says, listen to me. As I received Jesus into my arms and gave him my first kiss, I felt the need to love, need of love to give something of my own to my little son. And offering him my breast, I gave him abundant milk. Milk formed in my person by the divine fiat itself in order to nourish the little King Jesus. But who can tell you what I felt doing this? And the seas of grace, seas of love, seas of sanctity that my son gave to me in return. Then I wrapped him in poor but clean little clothes and placed him in the manger. This was his will, and I could not do without executing it. But before doing this, I shared him with dear Saint Joseph, placing him in his arms. And oh, how he rejoiced. He pressed him to his heart, and the sweet little baby poured torrents of graces into his soul. Then together with Saint Joseph, we arranged a little hay in the manger, and detaching him from my maternal arms, I laid him in it. Your mama, enraptured by the beauty of the divine infant, remained kneeling before him most of the time. I put all my seas of love into motion that the divine will had formed in me to love him, adore him, and thank him. That's what the divine will is all about. To return back to God. To return back to our origin. The Lord, I mean, what he is doing for us, the saints would have, if they could, fought over this. Can you imagine St. Thomas Aquinas reading this? And but he probably did get a glimpse of it when he didn't finish the Summa and said, everything I've written is mere straw compared to what God wants. Or St. John of the Cross, when he said, God is going to do something greater than what I know. Jesus is so in love with us. He has waited patiently for 6,000 years, and now is the time that he's going to give this to the world, and he's asking us to be the first to embrace it. Not because we're any good, but because he is so good. He is so loving. And he wants us to return back to the divine womb of God, where we belong. And so, as Our Lady said to Bruno, my children are going to return and live in eternity and live in the beatific vision, while the devil and his children will always be trapped in time and space. That's where we are here, time and space. This is why what Jesus is going to show you is he's going to take you to Bethlehem. This bilocation that he says he's going to give to the little children the holy divine will. He wants to take you to Golgotha. He wanted his mother to witness his death. He wants us to witness his death. I think that's the reason why God gave the movie The Passion of the Christ to Mel Gibson. He wants us to see what he has done for us. And so when we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it's not a time for reading. I know a lot of people say, well, I want to read the Divine Will. Okay, you can read. But as St. Teresa says, read for a minute and then focus on the Eucharist. She says, this is the only time when we can freely love God. Because when we see God, we're going to fall on our faces to adore Him and to love Him and to praise Him and to thank Him and to bless Him and to worship Him for all eternity. He's so beautiful. So St. Teresa says this is the only time when we can freely turn to God and love Him. So how many hours do we spend in front of the Blessed Sacrament? Jesus is there. And in the monstrance, He's looking at us. And we're looking at Him. And we're falling in love with Him. It's not a place to read a book. It's not a place to pray prayers. It's to fall in love with Jesus. This is what God's waiting for. And He's asking us to do it. John Paul II asked that every parish have the Eucharist. Eucharistic adoration. And we don't have many parishes that do that, but we do have the internet where we can, if we wish, adore Him and love Him and praise Him and thank Him and bless Him, worship Him. So she says this. She says, basically, again, she says, to love Him, to adore Him, to thank Him, to praise Him, to bless Him. Now you must know, and again, this is a command, that only 8 days had passed from the birth of the divine infant, and everything was feast and happiness, the very creation taking a festive attitude, celebrating its baby creator. But duty interrupted our joys because in those times there was a law that all the firstborn sons had to undergo the cruel cut of circumcision. My heart of mother bled with sorrow in having to submit my dear son, my life, my own creator, to such a bitter pain. Oh, how could I have wanted to take his place? But the supreme volition imposed itself on my love, giving me heroism, commanded me to circumcise the baby God. My child, you cannot comprehend how much it cost me, but the divine fiat won, and I obeyed. Uniting with St. Joseph in mutual agreement, we had my dear son circumcised. At the painful cut, I felt my heart being torn, and I cried, and St. Joseph cried too, and my dear baby sobbed. And his pain was such that he shivered. He looked at me. He sought help. What an hour of pain and spasm for the three of us. It was such that more than sea, it engulfed all creatures to bring them to the first pledge of the very life of my son, to place them in safety. Therefore, pay attention to me. Listen to your mama. I continued my stay in the Grotto of Bethlehem and with Jesus and dear St. Joseph. How happy we were. Through the presence of the divine infant and of the divine will operating in us in the little grotto had changed into paradise. See, this is what happens with us. This is why we're happy. No matter where we are, when we're listening to Jesus, when we're listening to Mary, we are in paradise. We're happy. It is true that the pains and tears were not lacking, but compared to the immense sea of joy, of happiness, of light that the divine fiat made arise in each one of our acts, they were just little drops plunged into these seas. And then the sweet and lovable presence of my dear son was a happiness of the greatest kind. That's what happens. When you're with Jesus, it's the greatest happiness that you could possess. And we as Catholics have our Eucharistic Lord. We can see God. And that which looks like bread and tastes like bread is worthy of our adoration, our praise, our love. Now, my dear child, you must know, Jesus is now showing us through his mother, that the eighth day arrived at the birth of the celestial baby. Into the light of the day, the divine fiat surrounded the hour of sorrow, ordering us to circumcise the charming baby, little baby. It was the most painful cut that the little Jesus was to go through. And the it was the law of those times that all firstborn had to undergo this painful cut. It could be called the law of sin. But my son was innocent, and his law was the law of love. But in spite of all this, since he came to find not the man king, but the man decayed, that's us, in order to become his brother, to elevate him, he wanted to lower himself, submitting himself to the law. My child, Saint Joseph, and I felt a shiver of pain, but fearless and without hesitation, we called the minister and we had him circumcised with the most painful cut, a bitter pain. Baby Jesus cried and flung himself into my arms, asking for help. Saint Joseph and I blended our tears with his. We gathered the first blood shed by Jesus for love of creatures, and we gave him the name of Jesus, powerful name, that was to make heaven and earth tremble, and even hell, a name that was to be balm, defense, and help for every heart. Now at the end of 40 days, my dear baby, drowned more than ever in his love, wanted to obey the law, presenting himself to the temple to offer himself for the salvation of each one. It was the divine will that called us to the great sacrifice, and we promptly obeyed. My child, when this divine fiat finds promptness in doing what it wants, it places at the creature's disposal its divine strength, its divine sanctity, its creative power to multiply that act, that sacrifice, for all and for each one. In that sacrifice, it placed the little coin of infinite value with which one can pay and satisfy for all. It was the first time that your mama and Saint Joseph went out together with baby Jesus. All creation recognized its creator. They felt honored at having him in their midst. In a festive attitude, they accompanied us along the way. As we arrived at the temple, we prostrated ourselves and adored the Supreme Majesty. That's what Jesus is waiting for us when we walk into church. We genuflect and we say, "My Lord, my God, my Master, my King, you are present. Thank you for inviting me here." That's what it should be when we walk into a church. It's not just bouncing off your knee. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. And He has called us to be with Him. And we should be silent, listening to Him. He only speaks in silence. And we have to begin to hear Him. And when we're talking to others, we are interfering. We're interrupting Jesus speaking to each soul. We have to stop that. You know, we have to begin to understand when that candle is flickering near the tabernacle, Jesus is here. And we can't just walk around like it's a barn. When we placed him in the arms of the priest, who was Simeon, who made of him an offering to the Eternal Father, offering him for the salvation of all, and while he offered him, he inspired by God, he recognized the divine word, and exulting with immense joy, he adored and thanked the dear baby. We have to discipline ourselves to be silent with Jesus. I know people who spend an hour and they keep on looking at their watch and they go, "Well, it's almost done. I can leave." The great grace is after the hour when you say, "One more minute. I want to be with my Lord." God is always filling us with grace. But He has to see what we want. He doesn't want to interfere with our freedom. And usually at the very end, just at that time, is when you can experience grace. My child, what pain. The one who had come to give life to all and to bring into the world the new era of peace. That's the divine will. Wait till you hear about the new era of peace. We're very close to it. This isn't going to continue what we're going through for much longer. Let me clue you. We're very, very close to the new era of peace, of happiness, of grace. This is what Jesus wants, and they want to kill him. They want to kill Jesus. They want to destroy his church. What ingratitude, what perfidy, ah, my child, to what extent the blindness of the human will it reaches, to the extent of becoming ferocious, of tying the hands of the Creator himself and of making itself the owner of the one who created it. Give me your compassion, my child, and try to calm the crying of my sweet baby. He cries because of human ingratitude, because only a newborn, they want him dead. In order to save him, we are forced to flee. And dear Saint Joseph has already been advised by the angel to leave for a foreign land. Accompany us, dear child. Do not leave us alone. That's what Jesus says in the tabernacle. And I shall continue to give you my lessons on the great evils of the human will. See, we are so involved with the human will, we don't even see the evil that we do to God and to one another. We don't even see it. The only thing we know is our human will. And Jesus says, I want you to return to live in my divine will where you belong. The book of heaven really tells us how to do this and why we have to do this. So we arrived in Egypt. After a long period of time, the angel of the Lord told St. Joseph we should return to the house of Nazareth because the cruel tyrant had died. And so we repatriated to our homeland. To our homeland. Now you must know, and here again Jesus is telling us this. You must know that for your mama, for dear and sweet Jesus and for St. Joseph, the little house of Nazareth was a paradise. And that's one of the things that, as you become a third order Benedictine, your house becomes the little house of Nazareth. And you can't believe what our Lord is going to bless you with. Everything that you begin to do in that little house of Nazareth will be a repetition of what Jesus and Mary did with St. Joseph. Being the eternal Word, my dear son possessed the divine will within himself and his own virtue, immense seas of light, of immense seas of sanctity, of infinite divine joys, of beatitudes, of beauties residing in that little humanity. And I possess the divine will by grace. And even though I could not embrace him immensely, as did beloved Jesus, since he was God and man, while I was always his finite creature, still the divine fiat filled me so much as to form seas of light, seas of sanctity, seas of love, seas of beauty, seas of happinesses. And the light that came from us, the love and all a divine will can possess, were so great that St. Joseph remained eclipsed and inundated and lived from our reflections, Jesus and Mary's reflections. We love St. Joseph, but what we're seeing is the firstborn of the divine will is little Louisa. And St. Joseph died before redemption. And Jesus says he waited for, and he looked through all eternity, looking for the littlest of the souls. And he said, I found you, Louisa. You were the littlest. You lived in your nothingness. Why does God want us to live in our nothingness? Because God works great miracles out of nothing. If we think we're something, if we think that we're important, if we think we're good, if we think we're holy, God says, I can't use you. You're already filled with yourself. See, we have to live in our nothingness, our littleness. As the Father Bucci said, you're called to live in the littleness, the nothingness, or the hiddenness of humanity. That's what God is waiting for. He says, when I find this, He says, I'll give it to the world. Dear child, in this house, the kingdom of the divine will was in full force. Every little act of ours, working, starting the fire, preparing the food, all were animated by the supreme volition and were formed on the solidity and the sanctity of pure love. Your house is going to be that. Jesus and Mary are going to teach you how to do that. That's what they taught Louisa. And when you're reading the Book of Heaven, when you're listening to Jesus and Mary, everything changes. Therefore, from the tiniest to the greatest of our acts, immense joys, divine happiness, the divine beatitudes were unleashed, and we remained so inundated as to feel ourselves as though under the pouring rain of new joys and indescribable contentments. My child, you must know that the divine will possesses by nature the source of divine joys. And when it reigns in the creature, it delights in giving, in which each one of her acts, the new and continuous acts of its joys and happinesses. That's what Jesus says. I want you to have my joy so that your joy will be complete. I want you to have my divine joy, not human joy, so that your joy will be complete. This is one of the reasons the words are capitalized here. This is not human. This is divine. But the priest says, every day of Holy Mass, may we share in the divinity. How do we do this? Start reading the Book of Heaven. And little by little, step by step, inch by inch, God is going to teach you how to do this. Yeah, this is such joy, such happiness that God is giving to us. He loves us so much. He says this, you must know that the divine will possesses by nature the source of divine joys, and when it reigns in the soul, it delights in giving in each one of your acts, every thought, every word, every deed. The new and continuous acts of its divine joys and divine happinesses. Oh, how happy we were. And oh, how happy you are going to be. Everything was peace. Everything was highest union. And each of us felt honored in obeying the other. My dear son also competed in wanting to be commanded by me and my dear Saint Joseph in little jobs. Oh, how beautiful it was to see him in the act of helping his foster father in the Smith works, to see him take food. But how many seas of graces did he let flow in those acts for the good of all of mankind? Meditation number 5. We continue to spend our lives in the quiet little house of Nazareth, and my dear son grew in grace and in wisdom. He was charming because of the sweetness and gentleness of his voice, the sweet enchantment of his eyes, the loveliness of his whole person. Yes, my son was truly beautiful, unsurpassingly beautiful. You get a glimpse of how beautiful God is. You get a glimpse. He had reached the age of 12, and when we went to Jerusalem according to custom in order to solemnize the Passover, we set out on the journey. He, St. Joseph, and I, very often, as we proceeded with devotion and recollected, my Jesus would break the silence and speak to us now of his celestial Father, now of the immense love for souls that he felt in his heart. Once in Jerusalem, just imagine Jesus speaking to Joseph and Mary. That's what he's going to be doing with us when we read. He's going to be teaching us things that are not even written on the pages. Why? When Jesus speaks, the joy that you have, now I honestly believe this, he takes us to heaven for a very short period of time, could be more or less, but he teaches us from a divine perspective. And we are filled with joy, and it's almost as if he gives us a divine anesthesia, and we go back to earth happy, but not remembering what was done. How many times have we read, and all of a sudden we went, wow. And then we read it again, and I didn't get that wow. It's because Jesus took us to experience what he, the Word, is explaining to us. I can't tell you more than that. It's you're going to go to Bethlehem, you're going to go to Nazareth, you're going to go to Golgotha, you're going to go to Jerusalem. The gift that he says he gives is bilocation. And it's not the bilocation of the saints. That's all we know. But Jesus is going to do this if we let him. It's so amazing what our God is doing. He loves us so much that he is going to teach us a new and divine way of holiness. Who said that? It was John Paul II. When did he say it? At the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. At the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, he says, we are now going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. You have to understand, things are going to be different. Why? As Our Lady said, time has now come to an end. She said that to Bruno in 1947, an approved apparition of the Church, Our Lady of Revelation in Rome. Time has now come to an end. It's a new way that's beginning. It's really not new. It's the life that Adam had before the fall. Again, what was Adam's DNA? What did his DNA look like? It was the image and likeness of God. And when we fell, Jesus said, when Adam fell, he fell from such a distance that it's a miracle that he's alive. What God is going to give to us is a new and divine way of holiness. And all that he's asking of us to do is take a chance and read the Book of Heaven. And when you're done with the 36 volumes, you're never going to be the same. You can't be the same. Again, we didn't have the 36 volumes until 1996. We had half the volumes. But even those half of volumes, a lot of the translations weren't accurate. You're going to hear things that are going to astonish you, because Jesus is going to tell you about it. And then, as you're reading, as you're studying, as you're putting this into practice, he's expanding your capacity to understand things that are not even written. That's the fun part. Our Lord is just astonishing. That word, he says, that he speaks is infinite. It's a divine life. The Word of God speaking these words, it's divine life. You can't be the same anymore. As you're reading, as you're studying, as you're putting this into practice, everything changes for you. God has great plans, and you're in them. We're in them. And the time, as Our Lady says, is no longer here. It's over. I always thought when the time came to an end that I would have time to go to confession. And then I realized when time ends, it's ended. There's no more time. And that's where you stay for all eternity, whether you're in the state of grace or not. That's where you stay. So Jesus is saying to us, I want you to get ready for this, to get ready for a new and divine way of holiness. And he's asking us, he's pleading with us to just give our yes, yes, a fiat, let it be done as you say. That's what God's got planned. That's why we're alive today. He could have chosen anybody. He could have chosen St. Francis of Assisi to be alive today. But he didn't. He said, I wanted you and I alive today for what I, the Lord God, am going to do. I want you to experience what I, the Lord God, am going to bring about for all my children. So we really have to look. If we think the earth is the same as it was even 5 years ago, it's not. It's a new beginning. And so Jesus is showing us the way and the how this can happen. And he's asking us, he's pleading with us to just give our fiat. So tonight, when you go to bed, sleep in the arms of Jesus. Become the little newborn in the arms of your father. Become the little newborn in the arms of your Mama Mary. God isn't 1,000,000,000 miles away. He's closer to us than our breath. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. You see, it's circulate in my blood circulating. What God has planned is as John Paul II said, the new and divine way of holiness, but it's more than what we're saying. It's a new era, but it's to live the life that Adam was supposed to live. Image and likeness of God. How do you get there? He's given us the book of heaven. Jesus gave the title to St. Honorable de Francia. He says, this is what you're going to call the book. Jesus gave the title. So as we read, as we study, everything changes for us. There's no more worry. There's no more fear. There's no more anxiety. There's no more complaints. There's no negativity. You know what Jesus said to Louisa? Louisa was scared at one point. And she says, they're going to try to hurt me. And Jesus says, let them try, and they will face the fires of heaven. Let them try. They will not harm you. Now, if Jesus said that to Louisa, and we are the little children of the little Mama Louisa, what does that mean? The survivors of the great chastisement are the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Remember what Jesus said. He said four things. There will be a great chastisement with a large majority of humanity will be wiped off the face of the earth. That's not to scare you. Second, because it's going to happen. I mean, he called for us to be alive at this time. Why would he do that? Because he knows what he's going to do if we're with him. Number two, he says, my mother is marking all the little children, the Holy Divine Will, and no harm can come to them. That she's been all over the world, getting everybody ready. Number three, those little children marked by the Divine Will, the chastisement will have little or no effect. And number four, the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children in the Holy Divine Will. Why? Why will they survive? Because we are called to live in the kingdom. There's nothing to worry about. What matters is that we're one with Jesus, one with Mary, through little Louisa. So Jesus has given us the way and the how this is going to happen. I'm not afraid for my family. Jesus says, you do what I want, and I'll do what you want. I want them in heaven. God says, I will take care of it. Do you believe that? Jesus says, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. Do you believe in him? Jesus, I trust in you. Do you really believe in him? He's our Lord. He's our Master. He's our King. He's our Savior. He's our God. He's our all. Spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with him. And there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be anxious about. There's nothing to complain about. Why? We're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. That's what's coming. This is glorious. This is magnificent. And he's asked us He's asked us, he's pleaded with us to say yes so that he can accomplish what he has planned. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.